ഇറ്റ്സ് എ നോട്ട് സ്റ്റോറി പ്രൊഡക്ഷൻ.
Hello folks and welcome to the Be Impactful podcast. This is your host B Shiva
and I'm Vineet.
You're sort of coming to an end of this season, a beautiful season indeed that we've been having. We've had fantastic guests on this season. We've had people from absolutely diverse backgrounds also coming in and sharing their views, their viewpoints. And we talked about a diverse set of topics, again, within the corporate space. Why am I keeping on saying the word diverse? Because the whole point of this season, it actually goes back to around 3 months ago when I was talking to the guest for today, whom I'll shortly introduce. And we're having this very, very interesting in-depth conversation about diversity and the interactions that happen among the various roles that people play in a corporate world. Each one plays different roles depending on their position, their designation, their background, their orientations, their likes, dislikes, and various other factors that come in. What are their interactions among each other, and how does that influence outcomes, thoughts, decisions? And that actually became the crux for our season.
Also, Shiva, to add to the point, so corporate is all about structure and influence and everything. And on the other hand, we have startups which are coming and disrupting. So there is also an amalgamation which is coming place, and that's where we gel a lot, right?
Yeah.
So we have taken some things from the other side of the ecosystem or other side of the spectrum, as we say, to take this up and build this entire new world which is coming through. So looks like an interesting conversation to take it forward.
So what we desired, Vineet and I, is actually the best way to round up this season is to get her back on board. See if you have made justice, if you have done justice to her thoughts, which actually ignited this whole thing. And of course, ask her her views. Well, she's a UK-trained behavioral and social impact scientist, sectoral experience in teaching, gender research, CSR partnerships and interventions, and been from the Tata Institute of Social Sciences with an experience of more than 12 years. I know her personally, and she's strong-willed and focused on, of course, bringing in the aspects of diversity, inclusivity in its truest sense. SDGs are very important for her. She doesn't just want people paying lip service, but actually going on ground and getting into sustainable development goals. She doesn't want to talk about just ESGs in words that are just going on there, but actually passionate about how companies, people are getting into environmental, social, and governance. How are they doing that and bettering the society around them? So with that, let me welcome on board Shashi Mudgal, our guest for today. Hi, Shashi.
Hey, Shiva. Thank you very much. That was a very modest way of introducing me. That's the best introduction I've heard of myself today. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, Shashi and I think it was an evening conversation which went on till quite late. But it's a highly spirited and full conversation that we are actually doing. So, I'm sure you've been hearing the various episodes, and we'll come to that a little later. But getting back to the crux of the conversation that we first started, we've been speaking about diversity in a corporate world. And for us, diversity normally in a normal corporate sense or anywhere is to say, okay, there are various tick marks that people have. They have a tick mark for the handicapped, a tick mark for saying, okay, we have enough women on the board or in the management team, the various tick marks that happen. But what actually, in your view, is diversity in a corporate workplace?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've been trained in lexicon and usage of words. So just going back to how Vineet kind of used the terminology of organization structure, and then he spoke of disruption. Look at the words, how they've been placed in a sense of a polarity, you know, structure and disruption. As human beings, we make sense of words in a way that we've experienced them. And this also has got to do with a lot of intersections that we all belong to. You know, we come from various regions, we belong to different gender, we are differently abled people, we have different qualities, thought processes, gender, caste, class, region. A lot of intersections keep affecting us on an everyday basis. And we invariably take these intersections into our workplaces. So, yeah, so diversity, inclusion, and equity, DIE, has come to forefront. And the protocol is started around, I think, post 2020. So, okay. Yeah, it is a very major, makeover that we need to kind of address.
So before you go on, you've used the word intersections, and I'm sure so many of our listeners know of intersections in different ways. But to set a context, why don't you just spend a minute on what are the intersections and how we use it in this context?
Yes, I would like to use my own example to make it very authentic. Intersections for me would be second born, female, South Indian, upper middle class, decently educated, with parents also decently educated, and I have traveled in a decent manner, but also belong to a certain marginalized section in my caste.
Okay,
so I have brought in class, caste, gender, education, and all of this. So an intersection is, one is not just, one does not live in a vacuum. We all have these intersections as part of personas.
I think, what do you mean, the various dimensions or the various sides, the attributes that contribute to a person?
Yes.
The various effects and of life, whether they're growing or where they were born into society.
Yes.
I think with your example, I think it's quite clear about what an intersection is. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And also, Shiva, so here we also talk about diversity and versatility. So just by virtue of fact that you have been exposed and grown with it in the entire life, and as we are moving forward, that also impacts your ability to perceive and understand as well as communicate what is going on. I mean, there are certain underlying notions which is already communicated by the way you present yourself, and this is a pretty interesting stuff to bring into picture.
Yes, Vineet, because of certain privileges of these intersections, we get opportunities and we have exposure, because of which we're able to perform. So a lot of this is actually tip of the iceberg. A lot of that goes unseen. You know, that's what I'm trying to say.
So getting back to what you're discussing now, intersections and diversity, especially since you're talking about that in the corporate world and your view on that.
Yes, one defines diversity. I would like to take one instance with regard to applications, you know, how one recruits candidates. So, you know, around that process, whether we keep it top down, whether we keep it bottom up, or whether we're able to recognize the different abilities of people, or we keep it really very structural and make it difficult for people to enter, you know.
Okay.
So in diversity, for example, just now the new trend is to welcome LGBTQ members of our society. To train them and to place them in organizations, provide that human element and that the respect to their different capabilities that they have and what is that they bring into the table. But one needs to understand there is a need that we need to train our people and also create infrastructure, for example, washrooms, gender fluid washrooms, and some kind of mainstreaming about being sensitive in your communication, being sensitive in passing on information, and being sensitive in words, language, and taking care of your biases and certain interferences. So yeah, I just gave an example for you around that.
We've been speaking about, as you said, the biases, and let's get into a thing, because I'm sure that exists whether people agree to it or not. A bias exists within us.
Yes.
Let's discuss a little more into this thing about biases. What are the biases that come in there?
Yeah, one of our colleagues spoke of unconscious bias.
Correct.
In one of the podcast episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's about, you know, the usage of language and the fluency of English. You know, there is some amount of accent that South Indians might bring in, or North Indians or Northeast might look a particular way. So these are schemes that we have eventually learned in our bringing, and it makes it easier for us to put people into categories and boxes.
Yeah.
That is exactly why diversity has to be looked at as a collective wisdom and not as a difference that is an obstacle or a predicament.
So I think I like what you're saying, that diversity should actually be encouraged and actually be made to fit in.
Yes.
Like the way I'm looking at it, I'm simplifying it a little bit, but looking at a large jigsaw puzzle, and there are the various pieces, each one in shape may be diverse, but bring these together to form a nice, beautiful picture together.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying to force fit things and say, all of them have to be a certain shape only and a certain style only. And then there's no diversity. Then you're trying to make everybody fit to a certain picture that you have in mind or the corporate has in mind.
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, just recently I happened to come across this particular article about how Wipro has done good work around 2020 when they made these major change, a transformation in the corporate culture. They brought in culture officers, they brought in habit champions, you know, just by creating very basic, very minute, but very important and grave and meritorious changes in people's attitude with regard to authenticity, trustworthiness, respect, regard. Things that sound like everyday but us are of so grave importance.
Correct, Shati. So you spoke about the diversity aspect of it.
Yeah.
All right. From diversity, now we get into inclusivity.
Yeah.
All right. The I aspect of what we are saying. So when we are, you know, setting up the context, how do we include the entire diversity into the perspective where everybody is respected and heard upon as we move forward together as a collective?
Right. You're asking me what are the options or steps one needs to take to make more inclusive in organizations, you mean?
Yeah. So I think what you're talking about is we know that diversity is going to exist.
Yes.
It is there. And till you decide to include all the diverse elements.
Yes.
And actually use that to grow, leverage the difference to grow.
Yes.
So how can we do that?
Yeah, as an academician and a social scientist, what I would like to propose is that we understand diversity. Many of us have different translations of the word diversity, but just looking at it in a process-driven economy, especially in a country like ours, that is coming entirely functioning from a collectivistic culture. Okay, so now that we're talking about culture and influence, I would like to propose that I think there needs to be a lot of bringing together of a conclave of thought leaders. Actually, there's much work that has already happened, but you know, trying to document best practices,
okay,
and trying to bring them, make them culture specific to this part of the world, because we might not be able to eat everything, copy everything. We need to create tailor-made policies. Yeah, mm-hmm. Directive principles and certain changes from top down. And those need to be documented, published, and, you know, they can be followed in documents of HR policies and organizational culture patterns.
Now, these are large things and will take time. It is necessary and it requires to be done.
Yes.
But what are things that we can do? What are each person, say, maybe as a colleague, as a team member?
Yeah.
What can I bring about in the change of my mind? How can I change my way of thinking? What are the first steps I should take to get onto this journey of inclusivity?
Yes. Just to respond to your question, as individuals, I think our contribution starts from being mindful. Being mindful, being aware that it is just not an individual's prerogative. It is about this entire system that comes into place in our daily functionings. If I had to quote a very popular and a classic American psychologist, Dr. Robert Cialdini, he speaks about six different aspects of influence. He speaks of reciprocity, authority, consistency, consensus, scarcity, and liking. These are like universal principles that explicitly and implicitly speak about how one is influenced in a workplace and one needs to be more aware around the spaces.
Okay. And I think you brought in a good thing about how you said Wipro is now bringing in a lot of those officers and people. I'm sure there are also things where, as from a policy, they're also bringing it down into the lowest level of the employee and bringing the culture down. I think the best way is to get culture to strategize and to build that. I think that's the best way to do it. So LGBTQI, I know there's a lot of companies which are focusing now on hiring and grooming of people and making them feel comfortable, first of all, that they are not marginalized. But how much of it, in your experience, what you're hearing, is it lip service or is there actual strong steps that are going on towards that?
Well, I must say it is kind of a little layered. I would like to give you a layered answer because I have been working with a lot of my friends are transgenders. I work with them. We have students who are transgenders. The aspect that we have already labeled them, you know, LGBTQ, we've already put them in our head. That is because this is how culture is influencing us, because the sexual orientation, there is so much binary good and bad, right and wrong, black and white, male, female. You know how these binaries are so strong in our mind spaces that anything that looks different becomes a challenge for us to accept. So companies are doing enough, but not enough as yet, because if I have to quote Amartya Sen, I want to quote Amartya Sen, Sen's capability approach. We speak of capabilities in a very loose manner. Basically, the definition of capability is, it has got two aspects to it. Capability is about what you are able to do and what is your environment, how is your environment helping you to do it. So capability and functionings are two different aspects. Functionings have got to do about your skill set, which you can work on. But capabilities are what you have that are also empowered by your environment.
Okay.
So basically, if my transgender friends can be respected and being helped to practice freedom, and if there is agency in their everydayness, if they can make money, save, convert, live integrity kind of a life, respected life, I think we've achieved enough.
I think that's when we bring about the third thing that you mentioned about, which is equity. That's important, because we started with diversity, and once you start including the diverse diversities that exist with us and not treating them as diversity, but treating them as a piece of a sense of thing. And that's when you get into equity and bring equity among all of us. Any thoughts you have before we actually get into the fourth part of what the diversity, inclusivity and equity can actually bring about?
Being a feminist, I can't stop myself. I'm not talking about gender. I've been waiting to say this.
I know.
So when we speak of equity, the word is a little transformational in a way that, a simple example, we operate something called gender auditing of budgets. Okay. No budget is any sensitive to gender in per se, because the moment, Vineet, the moment I say farmer, what is the picture that comes to your mind?
Male working on field.
Yeah.
Under the sun.
Correct. It's about a man. That's what I'm trying to say. The picture that comes is somebody who's working. The gender does not appear at all. Though women are major, they have a lot of collected wisdom around, you know, running the livestock, taking care of water, bringing water, cooking, doing care work. A lot of work that is happening there. So I just feel equity, gender is a very marginalized section and a very important space of addressing. Therefore, there is this new trend that's you know, upcoming about giving a second chance. I find it a little violent when they say second chance. It's about people take a little break after, you know, childbearing. And I think we need to be a little more mindful about the kind of words we use and place that we give them. So a lot of engendering of micro and macroeconomic policies have to be some kind of an affirmative action for gender to, you know, make place for themselves.
So Shashi, I'll give two examples, and this example, I have some of them have come in the recent past and some a couple of years ago. So one was an advertisement by one of the British agencies where a fighter pilot, a surgeon, a firefighter and a lawyer. All right.
Yep.
I think I might be mistaken with a lawyer, but they came as normal female and they went and spoke to the kindergarten kids.
Okay.
And everybody was like, oh, so and things are going on. And later on, they dressed in their own gear, the way they appeared. And the kids were surprised and they were like, how exactly it is. So they were not able to actually fathom that the ladies who came and spoke to them about a couple of minutes ago were actually accomplished in their feet. So this is example one. The example two, which came on one of my Facebook feeds, was Vidya Balan and Shefali Shah. They were talking on a talk show where Vidya Balan says that if I am on a call at my home, my house help can come and talk to me and interrupt me and they don't even mind. Whereas when her husband who's on the call, nobody goes and disturbs. Similarly, Shefali Shah was actually in one of the French festivals where her web series was being screened. And her son was pinging on WhatsApp, send me the OTP, send me the OTP, even after knowing that she is there for that particular screening of her web series at the festival.
Yes.
And these are the kind of, you know, equity and bias when we are talking about, which is like inherent. So when we are actually addressing it and working towards it, that is a bigger aspect where we are, what we are looking at.
Yeah, Vinit, thank you for those two. I mean, very picturesque narrative of advertisements. Well, this has got to do with how patriarchy manifests and operates both in public and private domains, isn't it? Because even the ministry, even the government has decided that women and child ministry will go together. Yeah,
correct.
That is because, that's because it is love's labor. It is a mother. It is a woman's prerogative and duty. You know, the should part comes. So it is imperative. You know, even the ministry runs that way. Women and child welfare. That is exactly why this aspect of public and private dichotomy becomes very difficult. If I have to give you another example, we ran a campaign called Right to Pee in TIS many years ago.
Okay.
This has got to do about how many public washrooms are available for women, in what distance, and how safe, clean, and operational they are.
Okay.
The very aspect that there was hardly one in I don't know, kilometers together, it meant that women in public space has no safety. There is no place. She's not allowed to be to even answer nature's call, you know. So that way, these are crux of how patriarchy is coming from private spots to public spaces. That is exactly why sexual harassment in workplace has taken so much importance. And I'm glad that there are committees functional and that we are heading a good way.
And Sashi, just to give the example from the other side.
Yep.
So my second boss at 91 Springboard, when I was in Hyderabad, she was my boss. And then she moved to Bangalore and she was heading another co-working space, 91 Springboard, in one of the Bangalore locations. All right. While she was taking around, she saw about a 2 or 3 year old kid at the co-working space roaming around. And by default, she asked, where is the mother? So the guy was like, the mother has gone to the office and I have bought my kid because today is my day to take care of the kid. And I am working out here. So this is a very kid-friendly space. So that's how I get to work. So that is also there from the other side as well.
Yes. Yeah. You brought a smile on my face. Thank you. Vinit, you know, very utopian, very nice. I would love to listen to more of that.
Something finally brings a smile to Sashi's face. Now I know what does. Okay, great.
Yes.
So coming down to the final thing of how do we, with all this, we have diversity, then we had to get inclusivity, we had to bring in the equity.
Yeah.
All this is to simply create a sense of belonging in the workplace, a sense of where a person feels, he or she feels, that they belong in that workplace, they are comfortable in that workplace, and they are, in fact, going as far as saying they are respected in the workplace. So how do we create a sense of belonging?
Yeah, well, I would like the word respect and regard more, because belonging, it is a long haul, Shiva.
Okay.
What I'm trying to address here, while you say this, is, you know, diversity, that differences are okay, and only differences can make us all easy and not stick to certain structures, because it's like more or less like wearing these uniforms in schools just to kill your individuation.
Yeah.
So in a workplace, to your difference to be seen as your strength, you know, bringing another point of view and how we can gel through it, navigate all this minefield and reach our targets and achieve results and respect each other's differences. I think I'm utopian again, but I think this is very important. What you're saying.
Yeah, and I've actually worked in a place where, in a team, now this is not within the overall company, but within that team, luckily I worked with a person who, I was the number two person in the team, but we had a sense of the top, that lady who was the manager, she was very clear in ensuring that when we sit on a table and brainstorm, or when you're working in every way, all of us are equal, and all of us actually were encouraged to look at it from our viewpoints. Look at any solution. She said, I don't want all of you to look at it the same way. I don't want unanimity.
Exactly.
I want people to stretch, tear this problem apart in your own different way. If I'm giving a viewpoint, I want each of you to take it, pull it, stretch it. So we had a person, me with around 20 years of experience, and the lowest he was coming in from college, and he was just 1 year after the graduate training, which happens normally in corporates. And this was his first workplace. So we had that diverse, and we were 8 to 10 people in the team. We are actually encouraged to say how our different thoughts would actually bring about different ideas, different perspectives. And each one was equally, as you brought the word, each one was respected. We wouldn't say, yaar to chota hai, to abhi to aaya hai, to kya janta hai.
Exactly, yes.
We never said that, because if anybody ever said that, they had to leave the room. It was very clear. They said, he's coming in with his perspective. And there were times his freshness of ideas actually changed the way we were going to approach the whole situation.
Absolutely.
He brought in something which we never thought about.
Yeah.
It was good for us. These are small steps. And I said, belonging is a way ahead, and respect may be the first step towards that.
Yes. And Shiva, just to come down to very basic terminology of culture, you know, culture, one must be a little mindful that we were colonialized.
Yeah.
Okay. So our culture has got anything and everything to do. All the anthropological accounts of our culture has got to do with colonialism. Okay. So, and the hierarchies of power and knowledge and institutions. So one needs to understand that our society, the way we've formed, so being obedient, saying yes, being likable, trying to fit into different categories at one given time becomes such an important value that you actually don't see value systems there. You see behaviors there.
Yeah.
You know, the values are there, but you actually get to see behavior. And this happens because of the influence of social institutions that we've grown up with. You know, I just want to bring some aspect of culture here, colonialism and all that.
That's 100% true, Sashi, because even in my experiences, when you know that this person is a manager and this person is an executive and this person is from the working class, the way, you know, everybody is treated simply says that, okay, what exactly is going on? Whether it is right or wrong, that is very subjective.
Yes.
And in one of the podcast episode, Rashri, our friend, she says that when we are getting everybody together, it is community where, you know, we are having the differences of opinion, where we're having the differences and everything coming together. There is an Indic way of working. All right. And you cannot do away with this Indic way of working. So how does the professional environment where, you know, the structure is growing to a startup environment where we speak about disruption to this entire social change? You as social scientist, how do you build this Indic way of things to take the story forward?
Yeah, well, I think Indic has got to do is a little closer or kind of parallel to the word Shiva used about belonging. You know, I see it that way. So when I am talking about culture and Indic way and us, there is a little aspect of unity and diversity wala part, because that we all belong to a particular culture. We are common in our culture, but still there is a lot of diversity that we try to bring out. So this aspect also leads to a lot of innovation. If one wants to describe this kind of culture, it could be ethnocentrism, it could be aculturalization, it could be organizational culture per se, you know, like Tatas or the Adanis. If one has to look at these people who practice their culture in epitomic proportions, that nothing can go wrong apart from how this particular order has to function. So I just think that communities has a lot of ambivalence for me, because my understanding of community is a geographical way of it, in the sense geographical locations and people who come together. So I'm an old school. I can't understand. I can't somehow, you know, concur with the online community. So for me, it is about everyday. It's about people and their everyday realities and their access to resources that will help them move up the ladder. That is what I want to say.
So Sashi, you know, community is still about culture and aspect of reality and getting the people moving together. In the online space, it is just that a lot of folks who have the resources, they get the access to it. And then it's up to us on how do we actually build in a way where everybody is moving forward and deriving the benefit out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So having said this in the entire context, I know
Vinita, I think you and Sashi and you should do one session maybe sometime on community in the offline space and community in the online space. And
yeah, the digital citizenship. It's an interesting one.
I think I'll be just a fly on the wall and watch the fun. But yeah. Go ahead, Vinita, what you're saying. Go ahead.
So Sashi, having said that, now considering the fact that this entire episode, the entire season of our podcast started with you discussing with Shiva, and today you are our final guest.
Yeah, it was one late evening coffee, Shiva, in the library space. It was impromptu.
And you have gone through the entire thing, what we have covered. Please let us know your thoughts on it.
How do you like our season? You're the last, so What are your thoughts about all the things that we did during the season?
Well, yes, I made both my mental and physical notes. We spoke of culture, leadership, community, biases, dynamics, brands, and all of it. But seems like more like, I'm just trying to be politically correct.
Go ahead.
Seems like it's a house party that you've been having.
Yes.
A little house party, because organizations are not, if you have kept culture and influence under organizations as only corporate, then I would like to bring to your notice, we have to talk about governance, we have to talk about defense, we have to talk about police, they're also organizations.
Okay.
Yeah, police, army, because I've worked with senior police officers. There were close to 112 IPS officers, out of which 4 women. Now do the math.
Okay.
Okay. So, and we need to talk about a lot about social network analysis when you're talking about community. So I would want to say that we need to bring people from all plethora. 360 degree. We could have a student. We could have an intern. We could have, I know, startup people. I don't know. I'm just thinking loudly with you.
Go ahead.
So if you could have voices expressing dissent, data analysis and history and, I don't know, epistemology, research, data analysis, somebody from government, somebody from statistics, you know, we could have really a good party of different...
Not just a house party. Let's make it bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Just to make more vantage points be available, you know, after all, with the intelligence here, Shiva.
Yep. And I think for our listeners, this is something like what the end credit scenes that happen in Marvel movies. A small glimpse of what may be brewing for next season. So stay tuned to where we're going to get a lot of for our next season. This is, of course, winding up our season 3, and where we've, as Sashi just summed it up, we spoke about brand, we spoke about culture, we spoke about community and all this. But just now, she's actually opened the Pandora box and said, hey, that is just one piece. There is a lot more. And I think that's a good glimpse into what we have coming and what we can plan for in the next season. So stay tuned for announcements of that. Thanks a lot, Sashi, for being a part. You've been a part, an actual guest on only one episode, but you've been a part right through the season, an integral part of it. Thanks a lot for being there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. And for our listeners, you have food for thought in terms of diversity, inclusivity, equity, and belonging. Think about it, how you blend it into the culture, how you take the inclusive approach, and make sure everybody is moving forward. With that, as the bumblebee says, see with your heart, listen with your mind, spread your wings far and wide. Bye.
Thank you, folks. Thank you for listening.